This is Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars with Trevor Long and Stephen Fenwick. Thanks to NRMA Insurance and Uniden.
That's right, that's us. We are talking electric cars for you each and every week here on Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars. Trevor Long, Stephen Fenwick, NRMA Insurance, proudly bringing you Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars, helping over 3 million people across Australia protect the things they care about, and that's your car. And it could be your electric car, as well as Uniden smart dash cams. And if you've got a car, you should have a dash cam.
Yeah.
If you're buying a new expensive electric car, you should also get a dash cam. And Uniden have some cracking products. We'll tell you about them shortly. Stephen, good to see you, mate.
G'day, Trev. How are you?
Very well. We've had a lot of people get in touch.
So many, haven't they?
Techguide.com.au, EFTM.com, or you can send us an SMS or a WhatsApp, 0477.
We're getting through to
657
people.
657. So 0477 657 657. And the great thing is that people, I think, are enjoying hearing from other EV owners. If you are in the market for an EV, I think it helps to hear from people who've bought one.
When you think about it, that's who you talk to, eh? When we bought ours, people were asking us questions.
This is a safe environment. We can share, and we do want to share the ups and downs.
Of course,
because I was talking to someone today, and they were like, "Oh, how are you going to drive to Melbourne?" I said, "Well, it's how I do it." And
halfway.
We're driving to the country this weekend. Yep. You know, it's different. I'm plotting out and making sure I know where the chargers are. It's all good. It's lovely. So happy to hear from you, whether you're in the market, whether you bought one, whether you've sold one. Let us know where you are at in the EV world. And one of those callers is already on the line for us. Adam's there. G'day, Adam. How you doing, mate?
Good, boys. How are you guys?
Really good, buddy. What do you own, mate?
Tesla Model 3 Performance.
Nice.
Look at you. Performance.
We might have some news in that regard we'll talk about shortly.
Yeah.
How long have you owned it?
I got it beginning of September last year.
So you're through a lease with work.
Yeah.
Really? So you're a recent owner then. So September, what's that make it? Like 7 months ago you've had it.
Yeah, I bought it with 10,000 Ks on it and just to get to and from work, just to try and save some money, to be honest.
And how long is your drive, mate? How long is the drive?
It's about 65, 70 Ks one way.
Ah. Okay. And you mentioned in your text message that you you actually live in like Jindabyne up in the mountains, so it's cold there because the weather actually affects range. So how's that working for you?
To be honest, I mean, we're parking in the garage. I haven't really noticed any difference. We're down in Melbourne at the moment, going to the footy tonight, and I just had a check on the car before, and we've been down here for a week, and it's lost 1%, and we've had some sort of, 8 or 9 degree cold night, so it hasn't really affected it too much I've noticed anyway.
Well, I think the thing, Adam, is it's not about how it affects it in a static mode. It's about, I reckon this is one thing you know, because I know how many percent I lose driving a Phoenix place, right? I know how many percent I lose driving to and from Channel 9.
I know how many percent I lose driving.
You learn these things about your car. So let me ask you this as a precursor. What percentage do you use driving to and from work every day?
Yep, so 2, because I'm going down from sort of 1,200 metres altitude to sort of 800. I'm using about 14-15%, and then on the way back about 7-8.
So you're using around 30% a day on that drive, right?
Yep.
So the thing you're going to learn as we hit your first proper winter is you might use more.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe, your battery, if it normally would do 400 or 500 Ks, your battery might only do 450 or 400. Do you know what I mean? You might lose 25% of your battery range.
He said it's garaged as well, so that's helps a little bit.
When you're out driving, you're in the coals.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Just be wary of that. I think it'll be a fascinating one to see. What are your mates, and is there many of them around the area, or are you a bit of an outlier?
Look, to be honest, Jindabyne, when I first got it, they had 2, but now there's 10. Everybody knows everybody there. But I figured if I can get to work and back for 2 days on a charge, it's worth it. You know, coming from a Land Cruiser.
Good point.
Where it was $200 a week,
Time to put your reviewer's hat on. We're going to ask you, first of all, what do you like about the car? We'll ask you what you don't like later, but tell us first, what are you liking?
Oh, I think just the ease, it's basically having a petrol station at home. I bought a high quality sort of tail for the charger that came with it. Mine was one of the last ones that came with the charger. And I can charge from about 20 to 80 at home for about $9. So, I like that aspect of it. And obviously it's comfortable to drive. It just sort of feels safe. Lots of kangaroos around our area as well too. And I found that they don't seem to move away as much as they did with a noisy car.
Yeah, true. Yeah, right.
I've noticed that. I guess the things I don't like when it's on cruise control that the wipers, you know, stay on auto. I'd like to control them myself. But other than that,
yeah,
I mean, it's got 50,000 k's on there now and it hasn't even had a service. So
yeah, right.
It's,
and of course, you have the performance model. So tell us, mate, do you give it a squirt sometimes or what? Do you like putting the foot down, impressing your friends with this thing?
Yeah, well, my young fella hates it because he can't drive it because he's on his P's. which is good for me because then I know it's not going to get wrecked. So
can I ask, what colour's your car?
The blue one. I didn't have much choice because I bought it sort of next demo, so it was blue, yeah.
Black seats, white seats, what do you got, black seats?
Black seats.
So, I want to know, did you consider anything else before buying a Tesla? Were you all in?
I did my sums just as far as I thought the EV thing would work for me. So,
yeah.
And I thought, well, for the money, you're not going to get much better performance, and having something, that was sort of, you know, basically you could work a lot of it off the app. Obviously Steve loves tech. I like it too. And I think that sort of, for me, that's sort of what pushed me over the edge for the Tesla. Yeah. I mean, I have looked at other ones since, but I think I'm still pretty happy with the way everything is going, touch wood at the moment. So,
well, can I just give you some breaking news about Tesla?
Yeah.
It's nothing bad.
There's
no recall or nothing, don't worry. They just introduced the new Model 3 Performance. So you've got the older Model 3 Performance, the new shape, the Highland shape.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They've just introduced the new Model 3 Performance, 0 to 100 in 3.1 seconds, 528 kilometres of range. And starting at $80,000.
0 to 80,000 in 0 seconds.
Let's call it 81,000. It's 80,900 plus on road costs. So I'm sure you bought your car a lot cheaper than that, mate, I hope.
Mine was 55. So which I thought was a good deal. The guy actually, poor bugger, crashed it the day before I picked it up, but it was only minor. But having friends in the panel beater shop, he took a fair bit of money.
Can I talk about that for a sec? A lot of people, repairing a Tesla today's probably a lot easier. I remember when I got my Model S back in 2018, and it was two months old, and some idiot opened his door and just the whole side of my car scraped all the side of my car. And it took ages to repair. I got it done pretty quickly. It took 6 weeks. And that's fast, don't you believe?
Terrible.
Repairing it, because it had to be all these aluminium. They don't panel beater. They just replace all the panels, and then it had to be recalibrated and everything. So, have you had any issues since that, or are you all good?
2 weeks. Mine needed new headlights and all that sort of stuff, and it was 2 weeks, and it's never had a problem. So, I know when I first got mine, nobody even wanted to touch it with a tint, but then you get some other guys that are going I've done 100 of them, it's fine.
You've got to find the right person. You definitely got to find the right person.
Did you do any homework on the battery health or any of that? Was that a concern for you? How did you approach this sale as being a secondhand vehicle?
When I bought it, it was 98, and today with 51,000 on it, it's not just under 94.7.
That's solid.
That's pretty good, yeah.
And do you just charge, do you keep the daily driving limit 90%, or do you go to 100 all the time?
I just leave it on the 80 and just 80. Up and down. Like I said, I can get two trips, but I do charge it every now and then just on the 50 kilowatt ones, just to see if I got a bit of, we go on fair few trips with it and sort of just been using that. And I know I hear horror stories and stuff with people, but I haven't had a problem yet.
Yeah.
With charges on the road. Like you say, you've got to have all the apps, but once you get them and you get used to them, it's easy.
Yep. All right. Last question, an honest answer. What do you dislike about the car?
I love it, but I hate it. The glass roof, I bought aftermarket shades for it, through summertime, but I've already taken those off down at home in winter. That was probably the only thing, to be honest, and just those wipers that come on when you've got it on autopilot.
Interesting observation. So the glass roof, is it too bright for you?
It's
just too hot, so it turns into a greenhouse. Is that the problem?
In Australia?
Yeah, it was. And you sort of, as you know, like you work on other things in the car, it sort of takes the battery away. So the last thing you need is having the air conditioner on 10 for, an hour a day.
Did you get the windows tinted on the car or not?
I did get the windows tinted. Yeah, I got them as dark as I could get it. So,
even the roof or not?
Didn't get the roof, no, because the roof's pretty dark as it is.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I didn't worry about that, but yeah, I just got those shades for 50 bucks.
I see a lot of people,
including
that really annoying TikToker Ryan, who talks about his Model Y every third minute of the day. But
fanboy.
Massive. It's unbelievable. Yeah. But and he's bragging about these awesome blinds that he bought. I'm like, dude, every other car comes with a blind.
Mine came with that. Like, yeah, sure. The Merc did.
Almost every other car comes with some sort of shade so that you can close the sun off. But it is what it is. If that's your only gripe, you're doing very well, mate.
Doing great.
That's a great outcome for you. And, look, it's awesome to hear from people like you, mate. So I really appreciate you getting in touch.
No, thank you for having us.
Cheers, buddy.
Good
Cheers,
on you, mate.
See, that's Stephen to me is a great – I think that's the first second-hand one we've heard from.
Yeah.
And he did investigate battery health, something we talked about with Ross from Amazing EV.
Absolutely right. I think it's important that – because, you know, the second-hand market is obviously growing. So the more people have a car – the more people in down the track are going to sell them, so the market's growing. So yeah, I think the more knowledge we have about this and the battery health and what to look for, then I think the better.
All right, we'll keep taking your calls. You can get in touch really easy, 0477 657 657. Send us a text, send us an email via our websites, techguide.com.au, EFGM.com. It felt as embarrassing as it looked, I'm pretty sure.
You looked pretty silly. That's okay.
If you're listening
that's okay.
on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you've really got to go to YouTube to experience the joys
of dancing along to the music.
Me realizing and understanding why I never went to dance clubs.
Trevor has no rhythm whatsoever.
None. Zero.
Yeah.
I've been, there's been at least two instances in 10 years where I've been doing a music segment on the Today Show, and it's been really embarrassing.
I've still got that footage. I'm going to bring it out soon. Yeah.
All right, taking your calls. We've got another caller on the line, and this is another EV owner. Jason's on the line. G'day, Jason. How you doing, mate?
Hello. How you going, guys?
G'day, Jason.
Really good, mate. What do you own, buddy?
I've got an EQE SUV AMG.
Hello.
Mate, I thought you were doing very well.
Bit of a tongue twister.
Jason?
Doing very well, Jason. Yeah, I'm an EQE 350 owner. I've had mine for about 9 months. I've had mine 8 months. And how's it been so far? How's your experience been so far? And I'll share my experience as well, if you like.
Yeah, no problem. Look, overall, really, really happy with the car. Mm. It's had a couple of technical problems, put it that way. So it's been back and forth a couple of times. It's actually there as we speak. It's in the shop right now. Yes.
So what are those issues, Jason? What was wrong with it?
Look, a couple of displays that pop up randomly on the screen.
Yep.
It's the SUV AMG with the hyper screen.
Oh, okay.
So it's got that screen that goes from one
all
side
the
of
way
the
across.
The passenger
sounds better than yours.
It is better than mine. You are doing very well.
It's pretty good. So but overall, look, no, really, really happy. Overall, I'm happy. I was a traditional Merc driver anyway.
So you're a
Merc
man.
Yeah.
I am a Merc man. Did it take the right model for you to go EV, or have you been following along and just not like what you've seen? What was it that said, right, my next Mercedes, because you've obviously had a couple, I assume, is going to be an EV, and what made it happen at this point in time?
Yeah, okay. So similar to you guys, I'm in tech. So I love innovation. I like technology. My business is around technology too, right? So once I hopped into that car with the hyperscreen, it was mind-blowing. It was absolutely mind-blowing. So so that tech part and that innovation part sort of
you were dazzled,
got me over the
Jason.
Line.
You were dazzled, weren't you?
I was dazzled, I was dazzled, yeah. Okay. Absolutely dazzled from that point of view, yeah.
Okay.
But had you been looking at other EVs in the market, or was it was time to get a Merc, another Merc, and it was in the showroom?
Bingo. That was exactly right. And to be honest with you, I wasn't really ready for an EV at that point in time. Right. This was October, November last year.
Yep.
So somebody asked me, would you consider an EV? And I go, no, I'm not really ready for an EV, I don't think. However, I'll give it a go. I went down to the showroom, had a look. And once I hopped in it, it sort of just blew me away. More from the tech, but over the last few months, you know, and you guys can sort of understand this, but it's a totally different drive, right? Yeah. It's smoother, it's quicker, more responsive. The tech's great. Yeah. Actually, this has got four-wheel steering. I think yours has also got that steering. Yep. So, you know, the four-wheel steering is great. It's really, really good. And there are also some discounts or some benefits around FBTs and all that sort of stuff. So once I looked into that, it's sort of, it was a decision I made.
As you know, mate, I had a Tesla. I was a Merc driver as well, like you. I had like four Mercs before I hopped into my Tesla Model S. I was in the Model S for 5 years. And I wrote about the. It's like I had an affair with a Tesla, and then decided to go back to my ex, back to Mercedes.
Yeah,
and I had the EQE 350, and like you, I had issues as well. I had a thing come up on the display saying that there was some power issue, and I remember taking it back to Alexandria Mercedes Benz there, and they said, "Oh, look, your car. We're gonna have to hold your car for a month." And I went, what?
What?
I'd had the car, had the car for 4 days. Remember what I told you?
Yeah, oh, I remember.
I had the car for 4 days. I said, are you joking? So I remember talking to the dealer principal. I'm thinking, you're telling me that this car, and it's not a cheap car, I can't drive it for a month? And anyway, what they end up doing, long story short, they took this part that was required. It was going to take a month because they had to bring the part in from Germany. I said, listen, can't you take the part off another car? And that's what they did. They took the part of another Mercedes.
Oh, okay.
So I could drive mine, right? And then the other issue I had was my boot got stuck. I couldn't open the boot of my car. And I had, the day that I had it, would you believe, I had my laptop in the back. I had a story that I had to publish, and I couldn't get to the laptop because the boot was stuck.
Yeah. And so you're in tech, Jay. So I'm wondering, do you kind of brush this off? Because I feel like we're early adopters, right? And I think, unfortunately, we need to accept that. But a Tesla owner listening would probably go, are you kidding me? Come on. Yeah. But you've got to remember the Tesla's got a decade of history. Cybertruck's struggling. Yeah. But, you know, you've got that. So you are buying a different part of the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, totally agree. And to give you a bit of context, I had problems with the GLE I had prior to this in the early days too. So I haven't had a good run with new cars. I don't know what it is. I'm okay with it. Yes, I'm in tech. I understand how it works. Yep. You know, you need to go back and it needs a good old, you know, control alt delete type of scenario. Just sort of reboot it. But
it's
I should
okay
have it
now?
In next week or so.
Running fine now?
Yeah, well, they still got it. They still got it for another week or so.
And I'll check it. Did they give you a car to drive instead?
Yes, they have. They've given me an EQE 350,
They've just given me my car.
Yeah, just a downgrade for you. Thanks, mate. Well, you know, it's funny. When my car was, I couldn't drive my car, I kicked up a stinker, said, I haven't got a car, I need a car. And they gave me the EQE AMG, the A53. Yeah. So I'm thinking, I had the Hyperscreen, and then I'm thinking, how good's this Hyperscreen? But then I got back into my own car.
Jace, I think obviously we don't need to ask you what you love and you hate about it because you've had your woes and you talk about the Hyperscreen, but you know, you've now become one of us, and that is unlisted, or we didn't subscribe, you know, we didn't choose to be advocates. You know, we are the people who now have the choice and the decision to tell people what it's like. Do you offer the positive experience mainly to people, and do you get people asking you a lot about it? Because you know, you're the tech guy.
One of the pros of this is that it's you sort of brought into really good sort of debates and conversations with mates and friends in regards to EVs versus, you know, traditional cars. And look, I understand both sides, but in summary, if I had the choice again to buy another car and my circumstances haven't changed, i.e., you know, I do a lot of metro driving, you know, working back, that type of scenarios. I don't do long distance driving. I would definitely buy another EV without a shadow of a doubt.
Okay. So you're a convert.
Sorry.
You're a convert.
I am a convert now. Yeah. Look, don't get me wrong. It's got its cons, right? Yep. Like, you know, this particular car, as you probably know, Stephen, it's a heavy car. So I think it's about 2.6 ton.
Yep.
You know, what's the appreciation going to look like in 3 or 4 years' time? I'm not really sure about that. It's a bit underdressed, I think, for an AMG.
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
I think they meant you know, I think what they tried to do is go for sort of the understated look. You know, they tried to sort of imitate Tesla a little bit there, but I think we've already spoken on the show a few weeks ago about Mercedes-Benz. Actually, they're going to change the design of the car. They're going to, in the near future.
Yes, they are.
They're going to change it.
Yes, they are.
But can I ask what's your charging situation? Have you got a charger at home, or where do you charge your car?
I install a charger at home, which is good. So I typically use that 2-3 times a week type of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm also lucky that I've got a shopping centre not far from where I live that's got a free. It's got about 6 or 7 free chargers in the basement, and they're 22 kilowatt chargers. So
beautiful.
If I go and get a coffee or go and buy some, just go to dinner or something like that, and I might plug it in for an hour and a half, and get 20-30% type
you
of thing.
You get a good parking,
typically,
and you get some power.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets me some power. So once you sort of get your head around that routine, you look at it and you go, well, I don't think I could go back to a conventional car.
Of course.
Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah,
yeah,
it's really.
Yeah.
The number one
thing I get now that you talk about those debates, and, you know, me, Stephen, I love social media and debating people.
Trevor shouldn't reply,
and, you know,
but he does.
Yeah. I've got this couple of TikToks about EVs, and the number of comments are just, you know, well, yeah, but you're being charged off fossil fuels and everything.
The narc's coming.
I'm playing a game with one right now, I'll be honest with you,
really?
Right? This bloke 2 days ago commented, yeah, well, you're being powered off this. Wind farms to that and diesel this and all generators or whatever. And I wrote in the comments, sorry, when did I ever mention getting this car for the environment?
Yeah.
I'll wait.
Bingo.
And so every day
exactly.
I'm just going to reply, I'm still waiting, because I didn't get into this to save the planet. I got into this because I think they feel great to drive.
Yep.
They're a lovely ride.
Yeah.
And in my Cooper, for example, and I've said this to Stephen, we're lucky. We're driving a different car every week. It's awesome. Last night I went and picked up a Hyundai, drove it home. But this morning I got in the Cooper and I went, I love this car.
Yeah. Well, and I drove here in my Merc today. I drove here in the Merc today. Like I've actually got your car at my place.
He does.
And I said, look at this one. I'm going to drive the Merc instead.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think it's a growing movement. We've sort of crossed that line.
What attracted me was
the tech. I remember I drove the Model S, and that's why I thought this is. I had a model an E200 at the time, a Merc, and I got into the Model S, and I thought, this is the future. This is my next car.
I remember, Jason, I don't know how much you listened to us, but I reckon you'll probably remember, Stephen, telling this story about, I think you were talking to Joe about it, and it was like, you know, we were the first to have a DVD player, and look how that went, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's that whole, someone's got to be first at these
exactly
things.
Right. And
Jason, last thing I'd say is the woes that you've had, that in 3 years from now, they'll be a distant memory, because there's always teething problems with everything from phones to TVs to computers. And unfortunately for you, it's the car. But as long as you get treatment, and I said this, I think, last week, you know, we get a great treatment in Australia from our dealer network and warranty and Australian consumer law. Americans and a lot of other countries don't have that. And so their experiences are much worse when they have problems.
Yeah.
So we're in a good place. As long as you've got a great relationship.
Pretty good with after sales service and customer relations.
His loan car is just an EQE 350.
I must admit the services have been great, and the support from the dealer has been really, really good. What I did realise just quickly is that they're sort of navigated by Mercedes-Benz anyway. So they call Mercedes in regards to the problem.
Yes.
Mercedes sort of tell them what they need to do, and they just follow the instructions it could take a week, it could take, you know, 3-4 weeks to get the issue resolved. But overall, really, really happy.
Good on you, Jason. Great to hear from you, mate. Yeah. Thanks for getting in touch and making Stephen feel like he's not
just
the only one doing very well.
Just slumming it in an EQE 350 till yours is ready.
Good to hear from you, mate.
Problem.
Thanks, Jason.
Nice chat. Thank you.
Good on you, mate. Thank you. Oh, that's so good. What about the fact that his loan car is Stephen's car?
What do you do? What do you do? Good on him. He's obviously doing very, very well.
Brought me so much joy. But that is what we want. Yeah. We want to hear from real people. There's problems. There's joy. There's everything.
Yeah. Well, I told you my issues too. So,
no one documents the problems you have with ICE cars as well, you know.
Exactly.
They have problems.
Cars are cars.
They just don't get headlines anymore. That's just the way it is.
That's right.
So we're going to keep going with calls. We've got another caller and a different. So we've spoken to a Tesla owner, a Mercedes owner, and we've got another different car owner coming to you right after this.
Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars is proudly supported by Uniden, and they've just released the Uniden Dashview 60 Plus. This is their first 5K resolution dash cam. 5K, even more detail, 150-degree wide-angle front-facing camera as well. It's got the Sony Starvis sensor. That means a lot because it works well during the day, during the night, all types of lighting conditions. That's the whole idea of having a dash cam, so I can record everything that happens on the road, and now in 5K resolution. So check that out, the Dash View range. There are others. There's also the iGo Cam range as well. Uniden has got you covered on the road for all your dash cam needs.
Through my head though, just actually my neck hurts.
Yeah,
so it looks like a night at the Roxbury. Look it up.
I can rule out neck dancing.
I did make a movie reference that you will not get.
I'll never get that, and I don't care. If you own an EV, you're looking to buy an EV, that's probably one of the two key reasons you'd be listening to the Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars.
Unless you really like us.
We appreciate the support of NRMA Insurance and Uniden Smart Dash Cams, continual support of the show. We're taking your calls, and we will, as many as we can every week, 0477657657. Send us a text or send us a WhatsApp and we can get you on the show and have a chat about your experience, whether you're in the journey towards an EV.
Yes.
Or you're
thinking about it.
You just got one. Whatever
it might
be.
You're about to pull the trigger. You don't know.
Spoken to a Tesla owner, an AMG owner.
Mercedes-Benz owner. Hello.
Stephen's jealous as. And now we have Joe on the line. G'day, Joe.
Afternoon. How are we?
Yeah, really good. Joe, what do you own, buddy, and how long you had it for?
Yes, okay. So the lovely Kia Niro EV GT line, it's a 23 model, but I've had it since about, we're talking March last year.
Okay. And so
going on 12 months.
And so that's your first EV, I'm assuming. So what was the thought process? Did you do some research? What made you decide on the Kia Niro?
Yeah, I tell you what, always wanted an EV back in 2018, but couldn't afford one. The Teslas were flying around. But more recently, when we were looking to upgrade our X-Trail, it was sort of, it's on its last legs. So good excuse to, get the latest and greatest. As you know, we love our tech. And EVs are all about the future and the tech. So I was able to convince the chief financial officer at home.
Minister for War and Finance, yep.
Indeed. But the main selling point there was around, maintenance, the usual, recharging costs, all that sort of stuff. So got the tick from her.
Yep.
But what in terms of choosing the model, to be honest, I actually did. I'm not a car person, so not a petrol head or anything like that. Don't really care about car looks and whatnot. So I was all more about cost efficiency.
Yep.
Went targeted the BYD at the time because they were very, very affordable. Got the wife into getting her comfortable. It's my car, but it's always good to get sign off from
business CFO. Please. Mate, we're both married, we know the deal.
mate, long story short, she was not convinced of the styling and the looks.
It's a bit aggressive, the BYD, yes.
Yeah,
particularly the Atto. At the time, it was the Atto 3. That was the only one available.
Yep.
I believe the MG ZS was around the same time.
Yep.
And
ZSEV,
correct. But, we're talking late 2022 when we were looking to, secure a deposit.
Yep.
And there was just nothing available. I think I was in a midlife crisis. Just want something, want something quick. Didn't have the patience. So, in the end, we did put a deposit down actually for a Kona EV.
Hyundai,
Hyundai. She liked the styling. I liked it. Had the goods, had the range. And so, it was easily going to be a 12-month wait.
Oh.
And then, in March, I think it was in Feb 2023, I had our Santa Fe service and, it was getting service. I sort of did the usual thing and just poke around the showroom.
Yep.
And I sort of stuck my head in at the Kia and sort of see what they had on offer. And they told me someone had cancelled their Nero EV order. Ooh. And so I was like, okay, decision time.
Yeah.
And did the quick Google interweb search, and you know, I was happy with it. Again, got the sign off from
Ring
the boss.
The wife,
she was
quick,
happy.
Come down.
Yeah, quick, get down here,
mate. Yeah. That's it. And the only thing she was hesitant on, like, she loved the interior.
Yep.
And she also liked the fact that it was just, it looked like a normal car.
Yeah.
None of this Tesla minimalism, steep learning curve. So she was comfortable. I was comfortable. The only thing that we were a bit hesitant on was the Stormtrooper kind of white with a black accent.
What's wrong with that?
Yes. it was a bit out there.
You're not a Star Wars fan, I take it, mate.
It's a rubbish movie.
No. I am, but it was more around it's a little bit too...
His wife's sane. She doesn't want that rubbish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Correct.
So you get past the styling, you get that stuff. But the good news is the new Nero that you've got is... Oh, so I drove one to Mums and Back, the previous model.
Yep.
Now, the previous model... was a little bit. It actually looked even more like a traditional car, to be honest. I think it was more regular, everyday, standard car, I think.
Yep.
Whereas the Nero just took a little bit more of that that new EV styling, but still held its standard style. So I think you did well there. But so this is a car with, what has it got, 450k range? How's it rate up on range? I mean, does that matter to you?
Not really. On paper, it's 460, but in real world, I found I was starting at 410 in terms of, you know, warm conditions, but during wintertime, it'll drop down to 390. So, I've had a full season, and, 390 kilometres, you know, at 100%, but 410, 415, real world. Because I'm on 110 kilometres on the freeway often, and that might reduce the range compared to.
I was going to ask. So, what are your driving habits? How far do you normally drive a day? Do you have a long commute? So, what's your drive?
Yeah, it's 150 on the freeway. 150 kilometre return on average.
Okay.
Work commute. So that's a daily work commute. And mainly 110 kilometres, and then the occasional sort of 60, 70. And the regen is the best part.
Yep.
So when you're going through 80 kilometre zone, the regen just sort of kicks in.
Yep.
Now, in terms of actual, overall, kilometres, we're talking like easily 500 kilometres a week, which is not an issue because, just overnight charging and away she goes.
So I was going to ask about that. So you got a charger at home? And do you have one in where you work as well, or you just charge at home?
Granny charger or wall box of some sort?
Oh, got the granny charger. Hey, the actual, I didn't invest in a wall box because I'm actually renting where we are.
Ah.
So had to get the permission from the landlord.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, because we're renting, for me, it was not something permanent. So it was something that I could sort of take with me.
Okay.
And there is so I've got a 7 kilowatt portable charger and it runs at 32 amps. So that meant, I had to get the permission from the landlord to install a 32 amp socket. Yeah. Single phase.
Wow.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's an interesting idea, especially for a renter, but still you've got to get the permission. But it's a normal-looking PowerPoint, right?
Yeah.
So,
when you say normal, it still has the three pins. You know, it looks like a three-phase, connector thingy. So it's not the normal
household PowerPoint. Oh, it is a big chunker thing,
PowerPoint.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. It's a big chunker with a spinny, spinny thing to lock it in. But
yeah.
The good thing is it was low cost. So the portable charger cost me about sort of 400, 450, I think it was, in the end. And then the actual, to get the electrician in, it was easy, 450 to get the electrician and certificate, the whole lot. What do you call it? The landlord was happy because he got an extra upgrade.
Exactly.
A 32 amp socket.
Yeah.
It suited us. It was behind, the gate. So security, I had no issue.
Yeah.
And, overnight charge, no issues.
Now, you obviously don't just use that charger because you said to us before we went on air,
you're had a charger right now. As we speak.
Yeah, so ABC, always be charging. So if I've got time to kill. Mate, if I've got time to kill, whenever you stop up at a coffee, you just plug it in. By the time you get back to the car, it's nearly already juiced up. So while I was waiting for, I was on the way home for the commute.
Yep.
So I thought, I don't want to you know, chat while I'm driving. So just sort of parked it. There's a really good fast charger at Dandenong here in Melbourne.
Yep.
And and it's got, you know, coffee, you know, convenience, the whole lot. So toilet break.
Coffee break. Wow.
And it works quite well.
Well done. All right. Well, that's awesome, mate. And you know what? Love the Kia. You know, I bought a Kia. I've owned a Kia for 4 years with the Carnival. I think they make great cars. I think they're good people. They're great service. If you get them at the right time, it's a great brand. A lot of people don't realise how good Kia and Hyundai are.
Yeah, so you'd recommend this?
They've grown over the years.
You'd recommend this car to other people?
I would 100% recommend, only because it you don't need to convince the boss. Everybody can just jump in, learning, no hesitation. Yeah. And I agree. To be honest, I'm envious of your EV9, and that's the next sort of purchase. This novated lease ends, you know, in 4 years, and that'll be one we will sign up to if it's still around, and if, you know, whatever's even better.
It'll be the EV12 by then,
I might get a Kia Niro if I take the EV19 for service. That's an in-joke that'll make sense when you hear the show.
Hear the show, yes.
But, good on you. Congratulations on a great car. Glad you love it. Glad the Minister for War and Finance loves it.
Yep.
That's what you want. Happy wife, happy life, EV driving. So good on you, mate. Thanks for getting in touch.
No worries. Have a good one.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers, Joe. You're a legend, mate. Good stuff. Do you know what? I love the passion that you hear from people.
And spoken to three.
It's exciting, but this is so much more exciting because there's so much more to it.
Well, three different cars, three different owners, different lengths of drive, and you can still hear that passion there. That they're really happy with their purchase.
Yeah.
And anyone else who is looking to pull the trigger. Yeah, you listen to these stories, I think it's going to sort of move them closer to that purchase.
I think one of the things I want to hear from a lot is also just people who, and the guy in the office behind us here, I remember saying to him, he's got a Tesla, and when I put the wall charger in, I said, mate, just don't hesitate to charge there. He goes, mate, I've never been to a public charger.
Yeah.
He goes, mate, I'm just plugging it home. I don't drive that much. Like, I think those little tidbits help people realize that you don't have to go, like, we're crazy, right? We have everything. We're also testing this stuff. But you can get away with a PowerPoint at home. Yep. Most cars for the average drive will absolutely top themselves up every night, let alone in the week. With just an average,
and there's
charger.
Deals you can get with your energy company too for that overnight charge. I think it's like cost you like $8-$9 to charge your car for.
That's a whole other world I'm about to get into. Once the solar's installed, they say don't change your provider until it's done because it's complex and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Well, after that point, it's like, okay, now we're shopping around, you know. Yeah. So looking for that kind of, you know, help and support for the fact that I'm.
So you still need it. You still
stuff.
Need a provider then after you do your solar,
because
I don't.
Yeah, you're a different kind of soul. He just can't stop talking about himself, folks. That's Stephen Fenwick. It's great to have you.
That's
company.
Where I charge my car through too. The solar sun, baby.
Sun, baby. Sun loving.
That's it.
All right. Thanks for getting in touch, everyone. And if you want to get in touch, techguide.com.au, EFTM.com, or text or WhatsApp us on 0477 657 657. Great to have your company. Thank you to NRMA Insurance and Union and Smart Dash Cams for their support. Back again next week, Stephen.
See you later.